If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
As Thomas Jefferson joins us now. President Jefferson, are you there?
Good day to you, citizen.
There he is, Thomas Jefferson, third president of the United States, second vice president of the United States, first secretary of state. Am I right about that?
All correct, and ambassador to France between 1784 and 1789.
I trust you're well, sir. You sound in good health.
The gardens are doing well at Monticello. It's the most beautiful place in the world, I think.
Yeah, no kidding. It's July. Boy, it's probably hot there, though. Producer Aleph, look
hot,
up the temperature in Virginia and see. Let me know what it is in Monticello right now. I'll bet it's going to be hot and humid there today.
It is good weather for growing corn. You know, my garden is 1,000 feet long. Includes both vegetables and experimental plants that were brought back by Lewis and Clark and other explorers, and plants sent to me from all over the world by fellow members of what we call the Republic of Letters.
Republic of Letters?
It's a group of people who share a set of values, who believe in rationality and science, who argue from evidence, who believe that all institutions should be viewed skeptically with an eye to reforming them to serve the needs of humanity, that no institution should be allowed to stand just because it has a long tradition, that we should always try to ameliorate the condition of life on Earth, especially for people without power.
It's funny that you say that, because we revere the Founding Fathers so much, we're hesitant to change anything, and yet here you're telling me that the idea is to constantly change and reform things.
Yes, I said that we may as well wear the coat that fitted us as a child, is to require our civilized citizens to live under the regimen of their barbarous ancestors. I'm for revising or tearing up the Constitution once per generation, say every 19 years. Hmm.
Okay, then what about this? This is from Fox and Friends. That's a TV show, Mr. Jefferson, and a TV is a box with wires. Anyway, so this was on Fox and Friends earlier this week. They were talking about whether or not the government has the right or responsibility to tell us to get a vaccine.
And if you didn't, if you want to go cliff diving this weekend, you don't have to check with me. It seems a little dangerous, but I'm not going to judge you. And if you go ahead and put yourself in danger, if you feel as though this is not something for you, don't do it. But don't affect my life.
99% of the people who are dying from COVID are unvaccinated.
That's so their choice.
They don't want to die. The administration and the government is saying, we need the mask mandate to protect the unvaccinated.
That's not their job. It's not their job to protect anybody.
And when he said that, I thought, I wonder what one of the founding fathers thinks about that. Is it the job of the government to protect us, Mr. Jefferson?
Well, yes, of course, from foreign invasion or from internal insurrection. But I like that government which governs least. I hope that we would have a population, you know, a citizenship that would be well educated and thoughtful, and people would govern themselves by doing the right thing. You know, we had epidemics in my time, including a very severe yellow fever epidemic in 1793 in Philadelphia, and we hoped that people would show good sense and follow the codes that were being offered by health authorities, but also by the municipal government of Pennsylvania.
But you didn't mandate it, did you?
No, but there are times, say the Black Death in the 14th century, or the great plagues of London in the 16th and 17th centuries, when the government simply had to take control, because the health of everyone is more important than the freedom of one or two or a handful of individuals. In other words, I don't like government to intrude in my life. I don't suppose anybody does. But there are times of national or international emergency when that's exactly what government must do. For example, we had an embargo in 1807, 1808, and 1809. It was widely unpopular, but I thought it was preferential to a war with France or Britain, and we enforced it. Many people objected, of course. They should object. But that doesn't mean some things aren't necessary duties for government to perform in times of emergency.
So is this one of those times? I wonder if the founding fathers were here today, if they would say that we have to take the vaccine or we have to wear a mask, all these rules that the government's imposing on us, particularly the vaccine.
Well, if you are making life more difficult for those around you, in other words, if your refusal to follow public health protocols is actually endangering those next to you or nearby, then you are not only doing an irresponsible thing, but there may be times when the government must intervene. I hope that's a local government, not a national one. But good sense is the only real answer to human problems. You know, we don't want a government that's enforcing every single little code. We want to educate people so that they can make good choices themselves without always having to defer to federal authority.
You are right that it's local. The decisions are being made locally with schools and with businesses. So we have the Center for Disease Control. We have the Illinois Department of Public Health. But with respect to the schools, just as a for instance, it's up to the local school districts. And some of them are saying the kids have to wear masks. Some of them are saying they don't. Some of the universities are saying you can't come on campus without a vaccine or proof of a vaccine or a negative test. Others are a little more liberal about it. I guess you would at least support that. That let the people in a community make a decision which they feel is best for them.
I think you need to reinvigorate a social contract. In other words, if people had to agree to their government and say, we do want roads, we want bridges, we want a fire department, we want police, we want a judiciary, and under certain conditions, we authorize our local or state government to enforce health codes, that consent that you have, you know, people realizing what it is to be part of a civilization, that you can't always do just what you want, that your liberty is not the most important thing. The most important thing is the commonwealth. And so we need to reinvigorate the social contract so people know what's at stake. In your time, people live without being part of a social contract. They object to anything they don't happen to like, but insist upon all those government services that they prefer. That's hypocrisy. We need to have an explicit agreement about what government does, and I hope that that government would be local, not state or national.
That's interesting what you said there. I haven't thought about it as a sort of hypocrisy. We're happy to take what government will do for us that we like. This is something we don't like, so we balk. But in fact, if you're going to take the one, then you need to do the other. I hadn't thought about it.
Of course. This is something you can find in Plato's Apology. I'm not a great fan of Plato, but Socrates was condemned to death. He had a chance to escape, but he said, no, when I became a citizen of Athens, I agreed to a set of codes, and one was that there is a judiciary which determines questions of crime and punishment and life and death. Yeah. If I now choose not to accept that social contract, which has served me so well through my lifetime, then in what sense am I a real citizen?
Now, there's some thought for us this morning. It's 9:56. Thomas Jefferson on the stage with me and in Downers Grove, October 30th, which will be air-conditioned, by the way. So we probably won't need it in October, but I'm just thinking about you there in Monticello. No air conditioning, sir.
No air conditioning, although I had very interesting windows, double-sash windows and skylights, and I was able to use them to manage the heat to make sure that Monticello was always a temperate place. In other words, human attention and discipline and ingenuity can solve most problems. We don't need external help if we are willing to educate ourselves.
That's a Thomas Jefferson, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. Call 1-800-JEFFERSON for all of your cooling needs. We will visit again soon, sir. Thank you for your wisdom.
I look forward to seeing you out there on the shores of the Great Lake.
That's us.